cybercrime, macroeconomic conditions, ESG reporting. You can't predict the future, but you can prepare for it. By understanding your risk, you can make your business resilient to challenges on the road ahead. What's more, you can turn those risks into opportunities. EY helps CFOs, boards, and audit committees see beyond the numbers to uncover the critical insights that make their organizations resilient, even in an ever-shifting landscape. For more insights that matter, visit ey.com/beyondthenumbers.
Is realizing the full value of your network just a dream? Intel is bringing AI everywhere, building solutions to help modernize and monetize 5G infrastructure, making it possible for telecommunications providers to expand services and drive efficiency by reducing costs and saving energy. The next wave of networks starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
It can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Messer and Bloomberg Quick Takes' Tim Stenovic on Bloomberg Radio.
So a recent Bloomberg Business Week cover story was about American women at the breaking point, noting how American women helped the country achieve 50 years of prosperity and how the undoing of Roe versus Wade made everything far more precarious. Our next guest has written extensively about the advancement of women and struggles with such. Graduated from Wellesley College, the same class as former U.S. Secretary of State and former presidential candidate Hillary Clinton. Her biography of Elizabeth Cady Stanton inspired a Ken Burns PBS documentary, and she has a new book out that chronicles the efforts of white and black women to advance sometimes competing cause. So great to bring in our guest.
Yeah, Elizabeth Betsy Griffith, historian and author of the book Formidable, American Women and the Fight for Equality, 1920 to 2020. Joining us on Zoom from Chevy Chase, Maryland. Betsy, thanks so much for joining us here. What a tour de force here. I was just trying to get through the first chapter or two. There's so much stuff there. And what I like about this, what I think as I going to read this over the weekend on the beach at the Jersey Shore, is it's not white and black women. It's kind of, they're all together. It's one big, I guess, journey. Talk to us about how you approached women and rights and those types of developments.
I started with the question of what happened after women won the vote and were added to the U.S. Constitution on August 26th. 1920, 102 years ago today. What happened next? Journalists would say a decade later that the 19th Amendment promised almost everything and accomplished almost nothing. They made a huge stride to break into voting, but then white women rarely voted and black women were barred from voting by discrimination at the state level in voting laws. So these women had more to do. White women would pursue running for office and legislative agendas and a sundry list of causes. Black women had an even broader agenda. They wanted to safeguard Black Americans. They wanted to end lynching, end discrimination, and try some ways to secure equal rights. But it was so dangerous for them to behave in any public active manner that many of them acted behind the scenes very quietly out of church basements as deacons or agricultural agents. So it is a complicated story in American history, but I think we need to accept that our history is complicated and learn as much about it as we can. Because I think the only way we'll get perspective on today.
It's kind of a funny day where, you know, we heard from Fed Chairman Jay Powell, who talked about the importance of looking at things in terms of history, you know, monetary policy. And his point is we can learn from history and that we have to stay the course with higher rates in terms of bringing down this inflation. We've already seen by not doing that what it means for the economy. So I think it's important, like you say, looking back at history and telling it. You know, I do wonder, and forgive me, you know, we talk so much about women and not being able to maybe move ahead as much as men. I mean, how much do you blame women for kind of where we are today and not learning from history, perhaps?
Carol, I'm not going to blame women for the patriarchy of our country, which has bred sexism and racism into our society. Women have made enormous gains since 1920, but we haven't come anywhere near far enough. Just speaking in terms of economics, the jobs that the majority of women hold are in the lowest part of the employment sector. The jobs, there are 98% of kindergarten teachers are women, 76% of public school teachers, we're only 38% of lawyers. We think we've made a lot of gains because women are so much more visible. And many women have succeeded enormously. But until a lot of women, more women, have that access, that agency, that privilege, we aren't anywhere near there. So the fight is not done. And we're facing some setbacks now. The reference you made to the whole reproductive rights issue, women who can make decisions about when to have babies, how many babies, the age of they are when they have babies, then can make decisions about education, about their employment. And one of the reasons women succeeded as rapidly as they did in the last 50 years was because they had reliable birth control and constitutional right to end a pregnancy if they needed to. There are so many issues that contribute to the equal rights of Black and white women, and they still need to be addressed.
Just real quick, you know, maybe in the next 30 seconds, just give us an anecdote from your book that really summarizes kind of the struggle in the early years.
It is hard for women today to imagine not having any rights, not having, in the 1920s, not having the right to own property, in some states not keeping their wages. Women did not serve on juries just because they got the right to vote. They didn't have a right to divorce widely or child custody, access to very few jobs, access to limited education, still in the 1920s. It seems incomprehensible to women today that women could have been so powerless. Yet they had moral authority, they had the ability to create alliances, they could organize, and so it's very impressive the gains that they made. It was hard to win suffrage, a very long, hard fight, and right. Then it was hard to use.
When cyber criminals strike, the difference between a catastrophic event and resilience is preparedness. Finance leaders who plan ahead can thwart the damage posed by ransomware. Yet in a recent EY poll, only 23% of directors expressed confidence in their organization's ability to respond to a ransomware attack. Cyber preparedness is just one facet of the complex risk landscape finance leaders face every day. Now more than ever, it's vital to keep ahead of developments. Cybercrime, macroeconomic conditions, ESG reporting. You can't predict the future, but you can prepare for it. By understanding your risk, you can make your business resilient to challenges on the road ahead. What's more, you can turn those risks into opportunities. EY helps CFOs, boards, and audit committees see beyond the numbers to uncover the critical insights that make their organizations resilient, even in an ever-shifting landscape. For more insights that matter, visit ey.com/beyondthenumbers.
Success is more than the final destination. It's a path you take one step at a time. It's discipline. It's teamwork. And it's the drive and passion inside of us that comes before all recognition. It's what Stifel's been doing for over 130 years. Quietly, yet strategically, Stifel's become one of the fastest growing wealth management and investment banking firms in the country. Our financial advisors go beyond traditional wealth management to provide clients with direct access to one of the industry's largest equity research franchises and a leading middle market investment bank. Because success is the drive it takes to keep climbing, the passion to keep investing, the best of each of us made better by the best in all of us. And that is where success meets success. Start your journey at Stifel.com. That's Stifel.com.
Stifel Nicholas and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
Suffrage.
All right, let's bring back our guest, Elizabeth Betsy Griffin, historian and author. The book is entitled Formidable, American Women and the Fight for Equality. It goes all the way back a century, 1920 to 2020. She joins us on Zoom from Chevy Chase, Maryland. Betsy, the book is, you know, just a real narrative analysis of the decades-long women's fight for equality based upon all your research you did for this book, based upon everything you learned from this book, again, over a 100-year period, where do you think the women's movement needs to go from here?
I think they need to recharge. The fight to get suffrage was more than 100 years, and it was called the Long, Hard Fight. We made an enormous amount of progress beginning in the 1960s, in part related to reproductive rights, the availability of the pill, the Roe decision, but enough other things changed. Legislative change, Title VII, the Equal Credit Act, Title IX, many positive things were propelling women forward. But then there came a huge pushback from conservative women. Women are not all one thing. There's enormous diversity, racial, economic, educational, age, all those things that divide us. And there's certainly women and men who oppose the goals of the women's movement. And I think that we maybe have been riding on our success for a while and not expecting the pushback that we've been getting in voting rights, in reproductive rights. Women are still, women need accessible, affordable childcare. They need paid family leave. Those two pieces of legislation alone would have enormous impact on women's economic well-being, their participation in the workforce. So there's more to do. And I think we need to think more broadly about women's issues. Since the 60s, we've been saying every issue is a women's issue. But I'm not sure that feminists would have included food deserts or the quality of education in poorer regions of this country or what happens in medical care. We're still seeing too much maternal and infant death and discrepancies in those treatments. We need to get back in the fight, and not just in the streets. We need to be lobbying, going door to door, electing people to the legislature who support those goals. I think we're in a real period of challenge, and it will take a long time to win again, unless there are just something dramatic happens in the two upcoming elections.
All right. So our Nancy Lyons, who covers World and National News out of D.C., is shooting us a message. And she says, you've got to ask Betsy about blue and pink timelines and how you divide history for women along the pink timeline and something that we probably all don't know about. Can you talk about this a little bit?
Sure. There not much women's history was written before the 1970s, and it got written because the government got rid of the graduate student deferment, and so graduate schools emptied of men who went to the war, and women filled those seats. And when women are doing graduate work in history, like every other category of person who's done graduate work, you tend to study your own field. So women wrote about women. And they began to create some methodology about women. And one was to think about timelines. We have all learned the American history timeline, from the colonial period to the federal period to the Constitution to the antebellum America to the Reconstruction, industrialization, immigration, the 20s, the 30s. That's our timeline. And it's dominated, not unsurprisingly, by presidents and generals and economic leaders. And that's what we all learned. And I believe most textbooks today are still divided in that way. The 19th Amendment doubled the size of the voting population and enfranchised 26 million women. And you rarely get a chapter devoted to suffrage, and you always get a chapter about Jacksonian democracy. So the blue timeline marks events on your standard American timeline. A pink timeline suggests that all those blue events impacted women's lives, but there were other events. Mm-hmm. For example, the invention of the baby bottle nursing nipple, or the tin can, or the sewing machine, or the refrigerator, that made women's lives enormously better. That wars, many wars on the blue timeline, affecting men and women differently. Wars are devastating for everybody, men and women, but they are opportunities of great economic advancement for women. They get to go into jobs that were forbidden to them. Mm-hmm. In the Civil War, they become secretaries. In the First World War, short war, but they got to be elevator operators and bus drivers. And of course, all those Rosie the Riveters filling up the factories during the Second World War.
Right.
You know very well that the women's participation in the American workforce has not declined since 1947.
Well,
so those events are on the pink timeline.
Listen, you're going to have to come back because I would love to continue our conversation. My grandmother was a Rosie the Riveter, so I definitely feel. And I apologize for saying women blaming themselves? Because I've gotten a lot of social media feedback on that, and I didn't necessarily mean it that way, but I do wonder.
Well, and I responded too sharply. So
No, you should. You should. Come back, please. Good luck with the book, and I hope we can continue this. Betsy Griffith, great to have you here. Formidable is her book, American Women and the Fight for Equality.
Do you love Elon Musk? Do you hate Elon Musk? Do you have no idea what to think about Elon Musk? Then we have just the show for you.
He's become even more larger than life.
Buying Twitter doesn't get us closer to Mars.
They are like really close to the edge of like everything falling apart.
Like, oh, Elon, I volunteer, put a chip in my brain.
Each week on this podcast, we'll break down, analyze, and debate the most important stories on Musk and his empire.
It's all one big universe. You just work for Elon Inc.
From Bloomberg Businessweek, this is Elon Inc. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.